Reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela, the later pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, texts 127 through 151. So, there's many verses in this section. So, up to text 150, I will read the translation myself and then we will read 151 together. Text 127 onwards. Previously, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been touring South India, he had met Ramananda Rai on the banks of the Godavari. At that time, it had been decided that Ramananda Rai would resign from his post as governor and return to Jagannath Puri to live with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Upon the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Ramananda Rai took leave of the king and returned to Jagannath Puri. After he arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very much enjoyed talking with him both day and night about Lord Krishna and his pastimes. After Ramananda Rai's arrival, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon Kashi Mishra and met Pradyumna Mishra and other devotees. At that time, three personalities, Paramananda Puri, Govinda and Kashishwar, came to see Lord Chaitanya at Jagannath Puri. Eventually, there was a meeting with Swarup Damodar Goswami, and the Lord became very pleased. Then there was a meeting with Shikhi Mahiti and with Bhavananda Rai, the father of Ramananda Rai. All the devotees from Bengal gradually began arriving at Jagannath Puri. At this time, the residents of Kulina Gram also came to see Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for the first time. Eventually, Narahari Das and other inhabitants of Khanda, along with Shivananda Sen, all arrived, and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them. After seeing the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleaned Sri Gundicha temple with the assistance of many devotees. After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees saw the Rath Yatra, the car festival ceremony. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself danced in front of the car. And after dancing, he entered a garden. In that garden, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy upon King Prataparudra. Afterwards, when the Bengali devotees were about to return home, the Lord gave separate orders to almost every one of them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu desired to meet all the devotees of Bengal every year. Therefore, he ordered them to come to see the Rath Yatra festival every year. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was invited to dine at the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. While he was eating sumptuously, the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, the husband of his daughter Shati, criticized him. Because of this, Shati's mother cursed him by praying that Shati would become a widow. In other words, she cursed her son-in-law to die. At the end of the year, all the devotees from Bengal, headed by Advaita Acharya, again came to see the Lord. Indeed, there was a great rush of devotees to Jagannath Puri. When all the devotees from Bengal arrived, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu allotted them residential quarters, and Shivananda Sen was put in charge of their maintenance. A dog accompanied Shivananda Sen and the devotees And that dog was so fortunate that after seeing the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was liberated and went back home, back to Godhead. Everyone met Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya on his way to Varanasi. After arriving at Jagannath Puri, all the Vaishnavas met with Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Later, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sported in the water, taking all the devotees with him. First, the Lord washed the temple of Gundicha very thoroughly. Then everyone saw the Rath Yatra festival and the Lord's dancing before the car. In the garden, along the road from Jagannath temple to Gundicha, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed various pastimes. A Brahmana named Krishnadas performed the bathing ceremony of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. After dancing in the Gundicha temple, the Lord sported in the water with his devotees, and on Hera Panchami day, they all saw the activities of the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi. On Janmashtami, Lord Krishna's birthday, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dressed himself as a cowherd boy. At that time, he carried a balance with pots of yogurt and wheeled a rod about. After this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bade farewell to all the devotees from Gaurudesh, Bengal, and continued chanting with his intimate devotees who constantly remained with him. To visit Vrindavan, the Lord went to Gaurudesh, Bengal. On the way, King Pratap Rudra performed a variety of services to please the Lord. On the way to Vrindavan via Bengal, there was an incident wherein some cloth was exchanged with Puri Gosai. Sri Ramananda Rai accompanied the Lord as far as the city of Bhadrak. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu reached Vidyanagar, Bengal, on the way to Vrindavan, he stopped at the house of Vidya Vachaspati, who was a brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at his house, great crowds of people gathered there. Text 151. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For 5 consecutive days, all the people gathered to see the Lord, and still there was no rest. Out of fear of the crowd, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left at night and went to the town of Kulia, present-day Navadvip. Purport. If one considers the statements of the Chaitanya Bhagavat, along with the description by Lochan Das Thakur, it is clear that present-day Navadvip was formerly known as Kulia Gram. While at Kulia Gram, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed his favor upon Devananda Pandit and delivered Gopal Chapal and many others who had previously committed offenses at his lotus feet. At that time, to go from Vidyanagar to Kulia Gram, one had to cross a branch of the Ganges. All of those old places still exist. Shinodanga was formerly situated in Kulia Gram, which is now known as Koler Ganja. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Mahiyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the first chapter of the Madhya Leela is giving a synopsis of the pastimes performed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this Madhya Leela. This is Kaviraj Goswami's method. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he gives a synopsis of the whole text. And at the beginning of each part, he again gives a further summary. So one can understand that this is a kind of a standard custom. Even Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, before he begins his commentaries on each chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, gives a summary. So does Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And very often, in many chapters of the different cantos of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada also gives a summary of that particular chapter. This is just to make it easy for the reader, reader-friendly. So we have a kind of a bird's eye view about all the pastimes of the Lord that are going to come. And then he ventures into describing these pastimes in more detail. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as we all know, appeared in the year, by the Western calendar, 1486. And the year in which he departed was? Which year? Anyone? Which was the year in which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu departed? Disappeared? 15? 34, that's right. 1534. So he performed his manifest pastimes for 48 years. These 48 years are divided into two parts. The part prior to taking sannyas and the part after taking sannyas. The pastimes that took place prior to taking sannyas are called the Adi Leela. Adi meaning original or the earlier part. Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24. His wife Vishnupriya was 16. At that time. And the second half of Mahaprabhu's pastimes are called the Antya Leela. Kaviraj Goswami says this Antya Leela is further divided into two parts, the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela. So the Madhya Leela constitutes the 6 years right after taking sannyas, when Mahaprabhu traveled extensively. He first went into South India, visited most of the holy places there, came up northward again, went to Western India, visited holy places like Pandharpur, and went all the way to the origin of the Narmada River, and then came back to Vidyanagar in South India, and then came up to Jagannath Puri again. So, and then later on in the Madhya Leela, he went to Bengal. He wanted to go to Vrindavan, then came back, then again he went, and this time he was successful. He passed through Varanasi and Prayag and eventually reached Brajabhumi, stayed there for a while, performed many pastimes there, and came back. So this travel period of Mahaprabhu is called Madhya Leela. He did also travel in the Adi Leela, there is a narration of him going to East Bengal, what is today Bangladesh. Earlier, Bengal was divided into two parts, West and East. East Bengal is Bangladesh of today. That is where many, many pastimes of Mahaprabhu and his associates took place. In fact, there are those of anyone who has been to Bangladesh here and visited the holy places of Mahaprabhu's associates, the many places there. So, Mahaprabhu went there during the Adi Leela because he was a grihastha. So he had to earn his livelihood and maintain his family. So as a scholar, he would go and speak and people would give dakshina or donations. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Ananda ki jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai ki jai. That is where he met Tapan Mishra. And he told him to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he told him, I will meet you in Varanasi later, some years later, so you go there. So he did go there. Mahaprabhu also went to Gaya to take initiation. Of course, ostensibly he went for performing the last rites, the Shraddha ceremony of his departed father Jagannath Mishra. But he met Ishwar Puri there, took initiation, and there was a complete transformation in his personality. From a dry scholar of grammar and logic, now he was an ecstatic devotee of Krishna, constantly chanting the holy names. So these are the two major travels that Mahaprabhu is recorded to have done in the Adi Leela. Of course, he would always travel within Navadvip. But in Madhya Leela, after he took sannyas, he traveled very extensively. And that is recorded by Kaviraj Goswami here. Then, after the age of 30, when the Madhya Leela ended and the Antya Leela started, then Mahaprabhu remained in Jagannath Puri and did not go out. He would go to Alalnath just some days before the Rath Yatra during the Anavasara period when Jagannath doesn't give darshan because Jagannath falls sick and he goes to the treatment room where he is specially treated by certain types of priests. So in the Antya Leela, Mahaprabhu remained in Jagannath Puri and he remained there for about 18 years. Now the latter part of the Antya Leela is called the Shesh Leela. So the Antya Leela is also, as I said earlier, the Antya Leela has two broad pastimes, Madhya and Antya. And then this Antya also has two broad categories, the Antya and the Shesha. Shesha refers to his very last few years, in which his absorption in the pastimes of Krishna became so intense that he was practically unable to do anything else. He hardly came into the public view at that time. During Madhya Leela, he was right there in the midst of people. And even when he was in Jagannath Puri during the Madhya Leela, he would go out and dance in the kirtan. He would take darshan of Lord Jagannath every day. And he was a very active participant in the Rath Yatra and all the other festivals. So he would meet devotees, he would give them instructions. All day long he was busy with the devotees, except for certain times when he would just chant to himself. In the Antya Leela, however, he started going more within himself. And he would be with his intimate associates, Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Rai in particular. And he would recite with them various verses from the different scriptures. And Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar would recite verses from the Krishna Karnamrita of Bilva Mangal Thakur, the works of Vidyapati, the works of Chandidas, all who were great poets, and verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sometimes Ramananda Rai would recite verses from his own compositions, like the Chaitanya Chandrodaya Nataka, etc. So they would assist Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in relishing these different transcendental mellows of Braj by reciting these different verses. Even then, in the beginning of the Anti Leela, Mahaprabhu would still interact with the devotees reasonably. But as the Anti Leela progressed and he came into his Shesha Leela, he started going deeper and deeper and deeper into these trances of meditation on the pastimes. And he became so intensely absorbed that he was practically disconnected to the external world. And then when he came to the age of 48 in his manifest pastimes, he departed from this world. Now, how do we know all these things? Because they are there in books like the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Where did Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami get this information? Prior to him, there were other authors also who had written literature on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. The most famous, of course, being the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur. There were others also like Chaitanya Mangal of Lochan Das Thakur and Murari Gupta's notes. Primarily, the information about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Adi Leela comes from the notes of Murari Gupta, who was his classmate and friend in his childhood and his boyhood. These notes are called Kadacha. So Murari Gupta would meticulously note down the different activities, the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. And Vrindavan Das Thakur based the Chaitanya Bhagavat principally on the notes of Murari Gupta. As Vrindavan Das Thakur started writing the Chaitanya Bhagavat, he got extremely carried away with the childhood pastimes of and the boyhood pastimes of Mahaprabhu, and especially with Nityananda Prabhu. And before he realized it, the book had become really extensive. So then he decided the book is too big now, therefore I'll stop here. So he did not elaborate on the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu. So the Adi Leela of the Lord are given in great detail in the Chaitanya Bhagavat of Vrindavan Das Thakur. But he stopped. He didn't go further. When Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami was requested by the devotees in Braj to compile the Chaitanya Charitamrita, he did so on their orders after getting the blessings of Madan Mohan, the deity, and he got the indication of their blessings when the garland from Madan Mohan's neck fell upon him as he came to take darshan. He took that as an indication that this is what the Lord wanted. Now, one time, I remember one devotee asking, he was in a dilemma about some important decision. And he was going to take a decision that was not quite legal. And so he said he wanted to have advice. So he remembered this point about Kaviraj Goswami, you know, going in front of the deity and asking for blessings and the garland falling down and Kaviraj Goswami accepting that as a blessing. So he came in front of the deities. He had this proposal in his mind, should I do this or not? And it so happened that some flower from the Lord's head fell down. So he said, yes, so the Lord wants me to do that. So when he spoke to me, I said, no, you know, yeah, it's nice that the flower fell down. The Lord was giving his blessings, but it doesn't mean necessarily that you should do this illegal thing because you'll get into trouble. So better stay out, just chant Hare Krishna, do some honest business, don't get into all these complications in life. So yeah, we can't imitate these great acharyas and devotees, yes, and we can't imitate them. So anyway, Kaviraj Goswami used to go to Radhakund. He lived for quite a while in Radhakund. And at Radhakund, Raghunath Das Goswami used to lecture on the pastimes of Mahaprabhu every evening for a few hours. Raghunath Das Goswami was personally witness to these pastimes of Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri. But furthermore, he was a Shiksha disciple of Swarup Damodar, who was, along with Ramanand Rai, very, very intimately associated with Mahaprabhu. So Swarup Damodar also meticulously kept notes about Mahaprabhu's pastimes. So Raghunath Das Goswami not only saw the pastimes of Mahaprabhu there, but he also learnt a lot from Raghunath, from Swarup Damodar. So when Raghunath Das Goswami spoke at Radha Kund, and Kaviraj Goswami was one of the devotees attending, he got a lot of information and knowledge about the later pastimes of Mahaprabhu, the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela. So then, the Chaitanya Charitamrita is largely about the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela. And as Kaviraj Goswami says, that deliberately he has not extensively dealt with the Adi Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Vrindavan Das Thakur has already extensively dealt with it in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So it's a kind of a maryada vyatikraman or a transgression of etiquette to try to repeat what a previous acharya or an exalted personality has already spoken on. So one doesn't touch it out of respect. So Kaviraj Goswami, out of respect for Vrindavan Das Thakur, only summarizes the Adi Leela. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita we will find the Adi Leela mentioned in brief, in summary, whereas the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela are very elaborately explained by Kaviraj Goswami. So the two principal sources, primary sources for information about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, then to conclude, are Murari Gupta's karchas or notes with reference to the Adi Leela, and the notes of Swarup Damodar with reference to the pastimes of the Madhya Leela and the Antya Leela. In the Adi Leela also, Kaviraj Goswami explains that there are four parts: Balya, Pauganda, Kaumara and Yovana, which means babyhood, boyhood, adolescence and youth. And by the time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attained youth, he had begun his transcendentally effulgent pastimes of devotion. His ecstatic transformations and his congregational chanting of the holy names had begun. He had inaugurated the Yuga Dharma for Kali Yuga, the congregational chanting of the holy names. So that started in his youth. And he continued till the age of 24 in Navadvip. And then at the place called Katwa, he took sannyas. And then he wanted to head out to Vrindavan, but he was restrained. Eventually he came back to Jagannath Puri and settled there. So this is more or less a summary of the entire pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, in the many verses that we read today, Kaviraj Goswami basically describes or mentions very briefly the different pastimes that Mahaprabhu did. And he eventually comes back to Jagannath Puri. But before that, he is, as the 150th verse says, he reaches Vidyanagar. Now this Vidyanagar is different from the Vidyanagar where he met Ramananda Rai. There are two Vidyanagars, perhaps there are more in India, I don't know. The Vidyanagar at which he met Ramananda Rai is in the banks of the Godavari River in South India. Whereas this Vidyanagar is in Bengal, not too far from Navadvip. So he came to Vidyanagar, which is the place where Vidyavachaspati lived. Vidyavachaspati was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. It's not mentioned in this verse, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met both brothers and he gave them instructions to worship the Lord in two different forms. He said the Lord has come in the form of wood and in the form of water. So, Sarvabhauma, you worship the Lord in the form of wood as Lord Jagannath, and Vidyavachaspati, you worship the Lord in the form of water as Ganga. So, because at this place, at Vidyanagar, there were so many people, great crowds gathered, as Kaviraj Goswami says here, it was causing a disturbance to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he left Vidyanagar and he came to the place called Kulia. And that is what is described in the verse that is up on the board. Srila Prabhupada speaks about this place. So let's talk a little bit about this Kulia place. How many of you have been to Mayapur? It's many. Now, across the Ganga from Mayapur, what is the place? Navadvip. It's the town of Navadvip. So the present-day town of Navadvip was formerly called Kulia Gram. Actually, originally people thought that Mahaprabhu had appeared there, but then with the assistance of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was able to identify the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as we understand at the current place in Mayapur. So, Kulia, of course, is Koladvipa. Now, as you all know, Navadvip means nine islands. So there are nine petals or eight petals in the central part, and each part of Navadvip, each island of Navadvip is called by a different name. So you have Antardvip, Godrumdvip, and similarly there is Koladvipa. So the place where this Kulia Gram is, across the Ganga, across the river from Mayapur, is Koladvip. It is called Koladvip because the word Kola refers to a boar, which means Lord Varahadev. It is said that in Satya Yuga, Varahadev came here and he wanted to bestow his mercy upon a Brahmana devotee. So therefore this Koladvip is also known as Varahakshetra. And there's a little mountain over there. So Koladvip represents Pada Sevanam, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. It is explained that each of the nine islands of Navadvip represents one of the different limbs of devotional service that have been mentioned by Prahlad Maharaj in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Koladvip represents Pada Sevanam, or serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Now, there are many pastimes that happen here in Koladvip. One of the pastimes here pertains, as Prabhupada says, he refers to Devananda Pandit and the other to Gopal Chapala. So I'll briefly just mention those pastimes. Now, this pastime about Devananda Pandit happened even before the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Srivas Thakur and Devananda Pandit were both much older in age to Mahaprabhu. Devananda Pandit was a scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he would expound on the Srimad Bhagavatam. He wasn't a devotee, and he extracted some non-devotional meaning from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But because he was so scholarly and so charismatic, many students would gather around him to hear his expositions on the Srimad Bhagavatam. So on one such occasion, Srivas Thakur happened to be passing by and he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam being spoken inside. he went inside and he sat there to listen to the class. When he heard the different verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he went into a trance of deep ecstasy and he lost external control of himself. Experiencing great ecstasy, he fell to the ground and started rolling in the dust, and all the ecstatic symptoms of devotion started manifesting in his body, like the trembling and the standing of the hairs on end, tears flowing down in the eyes, etc. And the students who were sitting in that class felt that this was a great disturbance. And they actually felt the Srivas Thakur was offending the Srimad Bhagavatam by creating what they felt was a nuisance in the class. So, not able to understand the exalted position of Srivas Thakur and about the genuine transcendental ecstasy that he was experiencing at this time, they committed a great aparadha, a great offense. They physically lifted Srivas Thakur and placed him outside the room. So on the part of these students, it was definitely a great offense. Now, Devananda Pandit, who was the speaker sitting on the Vyasasan, he did not protest. He did not try to stop his students from doing this. And because of that, he was also implicated. So Srila Prabhupada mentions there in the purport that a spiritual master is also liable for the offenses committed by the disciple if he doesn't do anything about it. Meaning that the spiritual master, if he notices that the disciple is doing something and he keeps quiet and doesn't tell him anything and lets him continue with that offense, then the spiritual master is also implicated. Because after all, silence is also an act of acceptance. There's a proverb in Sanskrit which says, Maunam Sammati Lakshanam, which means, sometimes keeping silent is a sign that you agree with something. So if somebody says, for example, I am God, and you keep quiet, that means you agree with him. So if you don't agree, then you have to say, no, you are not God. You are a human being. So, because Devananda Pandit kept quiet, he was implicated in this offense. And that was a very serious offense. As you know, Vaishnava Parad is the greatest of all offenses. And the more exalted the Vaishnava whom we offend, the greater the gravity of the offense. So anyway, this happened. Srivas Thakur, however, being the humble Vaishnava that he was, did not mention this incident to anybody. He didn't go around playing the victim card. Oh, just see what happened to me, just see how they offended me. They actually physically lifted me and threw me out of the class. He never said that. He never mentioned it to anyone. And the years went by. Then Mahaprabhu appeared, and he was growing up as a young boy, became a youth. He started manifesting his divine pastimes. And in that stage of his life, he manifested his Mahaprakash Leela. Sat Praharya Leela. Prahara refers to 3 hours. Sat means seven. So 7 times 3 is 21. So this Mahaprakash Leela went on for 21 hours continuously. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took on the form, his original form as the Lord. Normally, Mahaprabhu would be in the mood of a devotee. And even if anybody mentioned that he was the Lord, he would shut his ears and say, Vishnu, 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 don't say such a thing. It's a great offense to equate a jiva with the Supreme Lord. But on this occasion, and there were very rare occasions like this at other times, when Mahaprabhu would get into the mood of being the Supreme Lord. So during this Mahaprakash Leela, he would call all his devotees one by one and ask them for what desires they had. And he said, I will fulfill them. And indeed he did. Somebody said, you know, my wife is not a devotee. Somebody said, you know, my husband is not a devotee. Somebody said this and that. And he fulfilled every one of their desires. And when it came to Shivas Thakur, he said, Shivas Thakur, do you remember that time when you were in Kuliagram and you attended a lecture given by Devananda Pandit? And he was speaking on the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you went into an ecstatic trance, and you started rolling on the ground, and you displayed all these symptoms of ecstasy. But the students couldn't understand, they threw you out, and Devananda did not protest. And Mahaprabhu expressed his anger at Devananda Pandit, and Shivas Thakur was astonished. And Mahaprabhu said, my dear Shivas Thakur, you were so humble that you never mentioned this to anybody. But I am revealing this pastime so the world can know your glories. And then after that, this was of course before sannyas. And soon after that, when Mahaprabhu, as was his custom, he would wander around Navadvip. He would go with his devotees here and there. And one time, he happened to come to Kuliagram, to Koladvip. He came near the house of Devananda Pandit. This was near the house of the father of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who was called Maheshwara Visharada. So he heard Devananda Pandit giving class on the Srimad Bhagavatam inside. And Mahaprabhu stood outside the house and spoke in a loud, angry voice in such a way that Devananda Pandit and his students sitting inside could clearly hear. And he said, no one who is not a devotee of the Lord can understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. And the only purpose of the Srimad Bhagavatam is bhakti, devotional service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. Anyone who tries to extract any other meaning out of the Srimad Bhagavatam other than this is simply a rascal, and he will never be able to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Vedas, the four Vedas, are like milk, and the Srimad Bhagavatam is like the butter. Shukadev Goswami, who is very dear to me, has churned this butter and he has fed it very nicely to King Parikshit. And we are all tasting this nectarian butter here. And here this person goes on to derive so many other false meanings from the Srimad Bhagavatam. And my devotees are non-different from me. And to offend my devotees is the greatest offense, because my devotees are the walking Bhagavat, the literary Bhagavat and the walking Bhagavat, the walking, talking Bhagavat, my devotees. So in great anger, Mahaprabhu spoke like this and he left. The devotees pleaded with Mahaprabhu not to go and not to be so harsh on Devananda Pandit. But Mahaprabhu would not relent, and he continued to speak strongly and said that the Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of the Lord. And anyone who extracts any meaning out of the Bhagavatam except for bhakti will never be able to understand this. And he left. Devananda Pandit heard everything very clearly, but he didn't pay that much attention to it. However, the years passed. Mahaprabhu took sannyas, and then he left, went to Jagannath Puri. At that time, when everybody started understanding what an exalted personality Mahaprabhu was, Devananda Pandit also realized this. And he said, oh, yes, Mahaprabhu was saying how important it is to serve the devotees of the Lord. and how the only purpose and conclusion of the Bhagavatam is bhakti, and I have made a great mistake. So he started reflecting on the instructions that Mahaprabhu had given him. Soon after that, Mahaprabhu's associate Vakreshwar Pandit happened to come to Koladvip, to Kulia Gram. Vakreshwar Pandit, as you know, is famous for what? Dancing. There were descriptions that he would dance for 72 hours non-stop in Kirtan. And as he was ecstatically dancing in Kirtan, hundreds of people gathered around him, and they were struck with wonder to see the devotion of Vakreshwar Pandit. And because of the crowds milling around him, they were causing a great disturbance. So Devananda Pandit, who also happened to come there at that time, saw this, and he immediately went there to ensure that the crowds would not cause any disturbance to Vakreshwar Pandit. So with his cane, he held the crowd back. And one time in the course of his dancing, when Vakreshwar Pandit fell to the ground, Devananda Pandit went up to him, lifted him up and placed him on his lap, and with his cloth he wiped off the dust from the face and the body of Vakreshwar Pandit. So here he had done great service, very personal service to Vakreshwar Pandit in a very favorable and devotional mood. Now Mahaprabhu, even though he wasn't physically present there, but he understood what had happened. And some years later, 5 years after taking sannyas, when Mahaprabhu returned to Navadvip, the devotees were ecstatic to see him back. And he also came to Kulia Gram, to Koladvip. And that is the place where he forgave the offenses of all those who had formerly offended him and criticized him in Navadvip. There had been many, the ritualistic brahmanas and many, many others. So each one of them came to Mahaprabhu, fell at his feet and begged forgiveness. And Mahaprabhu forgave every one of them. Devananda Pandit, meanwhile, was watching at a distance. He had offered obeisances to Mahaprabhu, but was terrified of coming in front of him because he knew of his offense against Shrivas Thakur and also his offense against the Srimad Bhagavatam. But finally Mahaprabhu actually called him and offered his heartfelt blessings to him. And he said, "You have served my great devotee Vakreshwar Pandit, who is dearer to life than me. And therefore, I will bestow my mercy upon you." Mahaprabhu bestowed his mercy. At the same time, he said, "You have also offended Shrivas Thakur. So Vaishnava Parad is negated only when you beg forgiveness from that devotee. So go to Shrivas Thakur and beg forgiveness from him." So naturally, Shrivas Thakur, being such an elevated devotee, didn't take any such offenses seriously. So he was embarrassed, and with his full heart, he offered his forgiveness to and good wishes to Devananda Pandit. And ever from that moment on, Devananda Pandit became one of the intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was accepted wholeheartedly by Mahaprabhu, and he became a very, very exalted Vaishnava. So because Mahaprabhu forgave the offenses of all the devotees at this place, it became known as Aparadha Bhanjanera Sthana. So the place where all the aparadhas or offenses are destroyed or forgiven. And there was also the person called Gopal Chapal, who Prabhupada mentions in the purport here. He was also one of those ritualistic brahmanas who disliked Mahaprabhu and his associates. And he intensely disliked the Sankirtan pastimes going on every night in the house of Shrivas Thakur. So in order to discredit and defame the Vaishnavas, and especially Shrivas Thakur, Chapal Gopal quietly in the night kept various items or paraphernalia that are used for the worship of goddess Kali, Chandi. And it included red sandalwood and meat and wine and so on. Because the worshippers of goddess Kali are often in the mode of ignorance. So he wanted to defame him. He wanted to tell the world that, look, Srivas Thakur claims to be a great devotee of Krishna, but look what he does. He's actually a worshipper of Kali, and he drinks alcohol and eats meat after offering to Kali. This was his intention. When Srivas Thakur awoke in the morning, he came out and saw all this paraphernalia there. He was surprised and immediately understood that this was what some envious ritualistic brahmana was doing. So he went out to all the neighbors and said, come, come, everybody, see. See how I am surreptitiously worshipping Chandi, and I offer meat to her and alcohol to her and so on and so forth. And all the people who came, they knew who Srivas Thakur was. They understood immediately that this was some kind of a devious plot of some envious person. So immediately they themselves came and cleaned up everything and then washed the place with water and then smeared it with cow dung just to purify this place. Meanwhile, Gopal Chapal became a victim to leprosy, intense leprosy, and he had very deep wounds, and he was in a terrible state. He was undergoing immense agony and pain, and there was no relief. One time when Mahaprabhu was there, and Gopal Chapal saw him at this place, he said, please, please relieve me of this misery. I cannot tolerate this pain. Mahaprabhu said, you have dared to offend my pure devotee Srivas Thakur like this. You have tried to defame him. There is nothing greater that can be done than to offend a pure devotee of the Lord. So Gopal Chapal fell at the feet of Srivas Thakur and begged forgiveness, and he was also forgiven. So all these pastimes, and Mahaprabhu then of course also forgave Gopal Chapal, and he became a devotee also. So these pastimes of forgiving offenses happened here in Koladweep, in Kulia Gram. There is also a temple here called Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu Temple. It is said that when Mahaprabhu took sannyas, his wife Vishnupriya used to worship his deity. And she performed very severe austerity, and she performed this deity from the age of 16 to the age of 96, when she finally disappeared. She performed her disappearance pastime. So for 80 years, she worshipped this deity at this place, and this is here. So there is a temple here of Dhameshwar Mahaprabhu. There's also a temple of Praudha Maya, who is actually Yoga Maya, Purnamasi from Vrindavan. And along with Vriddha Shiva is older Shiva, older forms of Lord Shiva and his consort. So this is a place of Purnamasi, Praudha Maya, Yoga Maya. There is also a place in Koladweep called Champahatti, where there are beautiful Champaka flowers. How many of you know about the Champaka flower? 50% of your life is wasted if you haven't heard. Is one of the most fragrant flowers you can see. There are different kinds of Champaka flowers. One is white, that has a yellowish or golden central part. And there is another type which is golden, fully golden in color. And it has an intoxicating divine fragrance. So it's called Suvarna Champa or Golden Champa. So it's found a lot in this region, in Champahatti. That's how the name Champahatti comes about. So this is the place also where Champaklata Gopi comes to pick these flowers. This is also Kadiravan from Braj, because Braj, as you know, is not different from Navadvip. This is also the place where Jayadev Goswami used to live. So there are many pastimes that happened here. And those of you who go to Mayapur and you visit these places, I'm sure you'll be hearing all these pastimes here. There is also Gaudiya Math there called the Devananda Gaudiya Math, in remembrance of the great Devananda Pandit. There is also the Samadhi of Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj, who used to formally do austerities, his devotional service in Surya Kund near Govardhan in Braj. But then in his last part of his manifest pastimes, he came here to Navadvip, and in Koladvip he had his bhajan kutir, and then he performed his disappearance pastime here. Similarly, Gaurkishordas Babaji Samadhi is also here. And also here is the bhajan kutir of Vanshidas Babaji, who was a Paramhansa Avadhuta. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur is very appreciative of him and he glorified him. He used to live here. So he performed many pastimes here. We don't have time to discuss that. So this is Kulia Gram or Koladvip, which has been mentioned in this verse and in the purport. So we'll stop here. Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu ki jai. Sri Koladvip Dham ki jai. Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.